Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Consequence Podcast Network. Each and every year when the lineup calls, we answer. And then we call people who know more than us. Like Brian Benson, one of the guys that actually booked the festival. Straight from the source this week from our live show on lineup day, we talked to one of the bookers from AC, our old friend Brian. And along the way, some guests, like Ben from Consequence, The What Podcast, Barry Corderlord, Taco Brad Steiner starts right now. You're always trying to do your best. Don't worry about what happens next. Cause it never ends, we just begun, we crash into the set it's on.
Happening.
Have you found Dad yet? Is he okay?
We don't know. Barry just up and disappeared. Yeah.
He's just wandering his basement trying to find this thing called YouTube.
He can't find YouTube. Yeah.
Do we seriously know where Barry is? He knows we're doing this, right? He knows.
I hope so. Yeah.
Has Barry been celebrating all day because of the lineup?
You know, speaking of celebrating.
Oh God, here we go. How many of the 99 pack? Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord Taco. Welcome to the live show, the What Podcast, on the greatest day of the year. Now that we've had some time to reflect and call all of our friends and make all of our plans, love to hear what you have to say on the comments. In the comments, let us know what you think. Happy Bonnaroo. Happy Bonnaroo to you
happy
and yours.
Roo.
Yeah, happy yeah. Roo to you, buddy. Are you now that you've given it some time, have you changed any thoughts, any feelings from this morning? And for those who have not watched or listened, what were your thoughts initially of the lineup?
I loved it. Of course, the thing was, what we got was a press release. So we got a Word document that just had, you know, names in a list.
What a tough life. Tough yeah. gig.
Well, but now, you know.
How dare you have to read? I need colors,
but now it's on a poster. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's even better in poster form.
Yeah.
You know, it was great.
Well, yeah, I mean, I won't lie to you. It is it's much easier when I have bright shining lights and colors and you know, clever little designs to help me navigate my Bonnaroo lineup. Today is special because not only are you involved in it, fan and friend of the What Podcast, but also we have a couple of very special guests. One including Brian Benson. I don't know if you recognize the name, but Brian Benson's been on the show before with Steven. These are the two guys that you can thank for the Bonnaroo lineup. And we haven't talked to Brian since the moment he got to show off the 2020 lineup. He got to say, I was the guy that did that 2020 lineup. And luckily for us, we have him back. Now, the problem is, Taco, the last time we had him on the show, we never really got the 2020 lineup.
Yeah, do we really want to risk it again? I don't know.
Do you think he's the black cloud that hangs over
man,
everybody?
I hope not.
So Brian's going to share his perspective and his thoughts on how this lineup came to be. I'm really, really excited to talk about them. What I've always noticed about these guys, is Taco, is that they really love talking about the lineup when they really are proud of the lineup.
Yeah.
You think he's proud of this one?
Yeah.
It's like when you buy a new car. It's like when Don Draper buys that new Buick and he's just ready to drive around the neighborhood. And then after that, we'll have Ben from Consequence of Sound, Consequence Podcast Network, Consequence.net. So Ben is the editor. I can't remember what Ben's actual.
I think he's the editor. I think we're going to have him first, right? Because you told him 6:05.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Because he's waiting. Yeah.
Ben's waiting now.
Yeah.
Well, as long as we don't need Barry. What do we need? Yeah, what do we need Barry for?
We'll trade a Barry for a Ben.
Ben from Consequence, longtime Bonnaroovian, right? I feel like this is not his first go around in the Bonnaroo world either, huh?
No, you want to bring him in?
Yeah, let's bring him in. It's like the Merv Griffin show. Hit the music.
Come on down.
Hit it, Paul. Look at this. Welcome into our YouTube channel. Ben,
hey Ben,
how are you, my friend?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing super. Nice to see you, man. How are you?
Great. It's good to see you guys. Great to be a part of this thing after running point on it for Consequence for so long.
Okay, before we get too far down the road here, tell us what you do and all of the things you operate in Consequence.
Cool. I am editor.
Except for having a really good... By the way, we got young Barry Corder's hair with us right now, Lord Taco. Have you noticed it? Good hair, Barry, my friend.
Barry time traveled.
I'm editorial director at Consequence. I've been with the publication for going on 11 years now.
Whoa.
I started way at the bottom as a news writer, just worked my way up. And at this point, I manage the podcast network. I manage our video team. I work with editorial, obviously.
Working in Consequence, you have to have absolute love and fire for music, or else it was not really the gig for you, huh?
Yeah, no. I mean, straight up, Bonnaroo is the reason I work for Consequence.
No kidding. Why is that?
My first Bonnaroo was 08, and I was straight up. I dropped a tab of acid during Chris Rock, kicked in at Metallica, wandered the field, ended up at My Morning Jacket, which was the reason I kind of went.
In the rain,
4-hour set, saw the entire thing, and had my mind blown, had my life changed, and at that point I was just like, I have to be around this stuff all the time.
Right.
And I had to figure out a way to do that. And my buddy in college had turned me on to Consequence, turned me on to Bonnaroo and My Morning Jacket kind of all simultaneously. So it kind of panned out from there that I was just like, I gotta get away into this, and this is how it happened.
So do you remember the way that you felt before you got to Bonnaroo? Did you do it because you were so enamored with, you know, the lore of Bonnaroo, or is it because you just happened to find yourself available and you could go?
It was a lot of stuff. I mean, like, I was a really late bloomer when it came to music. I didn't really get into it until college. And like I said, my buddy was introducing me, my buddy Mike, who might be listening, into a lot of music and a lot of the scene, and he told me about Bonnaroo and about what the experience was like and about what music would be there, and then the lineup dropped and I started digging into it, and it was just I was just excited to see what being surrounded by music fans like that was like. And that lineup.
Where did you live at the time?
I was in New York. I was in college. Okay. I went to Hofstra University, so I was on Long Island. And, you know, it was me and I think four buddies hopped in a car, a caravan down with three cars, did the whole, you know, overnight, day and a half drive, camped up next to each other, set up that big camp. And yeah, man, it was.
Was there an artist in 2008 you said you had to be a part of, you had to see?
I mean, even then, My Morning Jacket was like, like, my jam.
Okay.
Hey Barry, welcome.
Barry, so glad you could join us.
Hey, look at that.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Well, we weren't going to, so
I don't know what just happened.
All right, y'all, thanks for coming, Ben. Everybody, good to see you.
Oh my god, right. Hey Ben, thank you so much.
Right before this started, Barry, god love him, he looked at us while we're in the program that we're using. Barry looked at us and he goes, so we need to be in YouTube? Do I need to be in YouTube? I said, yes, Barry. Just go to YouTube, start screaming at your screen. Yes.
Then I went and put my black socks on and started mowing the grass. So
we were talking
about
how
it felt like anyway. So
we were talking about how Ben was getting into Bonnaroo. This is 2008 at the My Morning Jacket show. How many Bonnaroos have you been since then?
If my count's right, 8.
Oh, you're a lifer at this point.
Yeah, I think my last time was 16. And the only year from 8 to 16 that I skipped was 12.
Well, what happened between 16 and now? What kept you away?
You know, a variety of factors.
Mm-hmm.
Camping? Porta potties?
No, by the end of the run, I was back in the, you know, in that forested areas that you guys love and miss so well.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody say hi to Ted. Ted Heinig is in the chat.
Hey, Ted. So, good. Hey, thank God Ted is here. Now that you talk about, Ben, talk about that camping area that we had. We'd like our camping area back. Thanks, I mean, Ted. Talk to you later.
I might have to figure out how to get back this year because, yeah, the lineup is the most intriguing I've seen in some time. Lineup had really been part of the reason I stopped going. It's a lot of work. I work the festival. I'm a photographer. I shoot it. It's a lot of running around. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm older now. I've got body issues. My back is a pain. being able to carry that stuff around size of a festival.
Uh-huh.
Plus, as I work for Consequence, I cover a lot of live music and a lot of festivals. So to, like, get me back down to Tennessee, like, really had to be a lineup.
Yeah.
Like,
are you in New York
really
still?
I'm in New York. I'm in Brooklyn.
Okay. Me too. I'm in Crown Heights. Where are you?
Yeah. I'm in Crown Heights.
Stop it.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Go knock on the wall. See if you hear him. Yeah.
Oh my God, my dog's be barking. Guys, it's just Ben. Come over. Okay.
All right. So Ben, does this lineup intrigue you?
It's the
enough
first
to go, you know, with the back pain and the porta potties and the camping on the.
I don't know about the camping. We'll have to see what the situation is. But yeah, there's something about this one that maybe it's seeing My Morning Jacket back on the bill because that'll always bring me back. But yeah, there's something about this one that feels real classic to me in a way that I haven't seen in years. In a way that makes me go, boy, maybe I need to start working that back out so I can make it down there.
Man, I got people make fun of me because about 90 days out of Bonnaroo, I start like, I got to start getting in shape.
Yeah, I'm starting tomorrow. Yeah, 90 days is too late, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, so other than My Morning Jacket, who in particular sort of caught your eye?
Gosh, I'm looking at it right now. Let's see. A Paramore, I love. I'm so jealous that you have a physical poster already, Russ. That's incredible. Paramore's dope. I'm seeing them on the farm, would be really cool. Bands like, or acts like 3-6 Mafia that are so, like, 3-6 Mafia and Korn are these, like, crazy, like, what are they really doing there bands that make perfect sense that they're there. And I love seeing those sets. You know, Kendrick.
I hate to interrupt you, but like those are the ones that I love the most. And it goes from Lionel Richie and Kenny Rogers all the way to Alice Cooper and Gore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like those bizarre bookings. They're like, what in the world has happened here? But what I remember talking to Brian about and Steven about years ago, Barry, is that sometimes they'll see a show and they'll say to themselves, I'm going with my gut on this one because this was just so fun. I want this experience on the farm.
Thank you, Jocko. And I think for me and Russ, it's Pixies, right? I mean, Korn, obviously, but Pixies too. Pixies is that's a once in a lifetime. I mean, I don't even know if they're on your radar, Brad, but.
Yeah, I know the Pixies.
I don't mean to insult you, but, you know, there's those bands that you look at me and
Barry,
Russ
have you ever heard of the Foo Fighters? Come on.
Yeah, Pixies predate. But anyway, yeah, those are the bands that I'm like, oh my God, I get to see these guys in addition to all these other bands.
That Lionel Richie set down there I think that might have been during the last year, but it was so good. That was such a cool set. And I'm like, you know, I'm never going to go seek out a Lionel Richie show.
I know, right? I know,
but
that's right.
You put him on a lineup with everybody else I want to see? Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me go check that out.
So go backwards for a second. If 2008 to 2016, what was your favorite year? Do you have a specific year that...
Yeah, I'm bad with kind of dates and what was what. I think it was 9. What was the year that Yeah and TV on the Radio and...
Oh, God, you're talking like 2004, 2005 was Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. Really? What was the last time Yeah, Yeah? I don't remember Yeah, Yeah being there since 2004 or 5.
Yeah, this is it.
Nine. Nine was
Bruce. I remember because she came backstage and she was painfully so thin. I was like, oh my God, that's the thinnest woman I've ever seen in my life.
I totally forgot they were there in 09.
That was Bruce, Nine Inch Nails, 2 Fish shows, Beastie Boys' last show ever, which we didn't know at the time.
Oh, my God, yeah.
David Byrne.
Chris Rock was that year, right?
No, that was 8.
No, that's when he dropped acid.
Because that's when I dropped
acid. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The Mars Volta, TV on the Radio, MJMT at, like, the height of their heightness. Public Enemy, Band of Horses, Girl Talk when he was still rocking really hard.
Public Enemy.
That Bon Iver set. Oh, yeah, this was like...
Yeah, that's a great year.
This was my year.
Yeah,
I've always told the Public Enemy story about Triumph. The insult dog was there. Yeah. You remember?
Yeah.
I know. I got my picture with him, and that was the year Conan O'Brien was there, too.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of comedians. Janine Garofalo was there, and she did the
say
media.
Say that again?
Janine
give that one more try?
Garofalo. I know. I did stumble through that. But, I mean, she did the media thing in the tent, and she was like, did y'all see that Triumph set last night? And we were like, no, what are you talking about? And she said, he came out and said, y'all know why Flava Flav wears that clock around his chest, right? And we're like, no. And she said, he said, so he can see how far he set back the civil rights movement.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. Wow. Oh. Pretty good. Jesus. Janine Garofalo.
She was telling it all over.
Jesus.
I don't know if that's a good segue, but we've got Brian Benson waiting if you want to bring him in.
Yeah, Brian Benson, who helped book this lineup, yet again, another victory lap to take around the old campsite that is YouTube. Drop a comment or a question in for Brian anytime in the YouTube chat box. Lord Taco will sort of manage that. Do we have him yet?
Yeah, you ready to bring him in?
Yeah, bring him in. Hit the music, Paul.
Here we go.
My man, how are you?
There he is.
What's up, gentlemen? How's everybody?
Good to see you.
Happy lineup day.
Happy lineup day. You are getting email after email.
Yeah. We got some echo.
It's pretty much been my day right there, that little ding sound.
Yeah, I bet.
Do you have headphones?
I can get some. Do I need to have headphones?
Yeah, because I think we're picking up your speaker. Please.
You know, they don't have these problems on the Ruham podcast. Also, very jealous of that jacket. That was a nice jacket.
Ted pointed that out right away.
Oh, did he? Oh, man.
Track jacket, yeah.
So, since we're talking to somebody from Consequence, what were your initial thoughts of Coachella since we got you here?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, like, festival publicists need to, like, coordinate. Because dropping 4 major lineups in one day was a heavy lift.
Yeah.
Coachella, I think, is actually pretty great. I went in 2012. I don't think that festival is my speed. That's another one that, like, the lineup would have to be pristine for me, for me to go back. And I don't think my tastes align perfectly. But there's a lot on there that makes that a really strong lineup for Coachella.
Yeah, like Black, what? Give me a. You're a Blackpink guy.
I kind of am a K-pop dude. Like, there's a lot. I say, like, oh, Coachella's not my speed. I love K-pop.
Boy, you know, you're plucked right out of the factory of people I thought would like K-pop. You are right out of the.
I got into BTS, and we have this one person on our side who's just like a mega fan, and just being able to talk to her about stuff and learn about that world. I'm in so many ways. And I think Blackpink's great, and I think that's, you know, fantastic for them and fantastic for Coachella and fantastic for the music festival scene at large, that they and Bad Bunny are topping a bill is pretty incredible. I mean, the complete other side of that spectrum, I'm a huge fan of Boy Genius and everybody in Boy Genius.
Yeah, I love Boy Genius.
And we all knew that was happening, but now it's like, it's there. And we're seeing it. That's fantastic.
And if this is the start of something that Boy Genius is going to do, that's the part that makes me so excited.
Yeah, I definitely want, you know, something, new EP, new album, new tour, something. You know, we know they did, I don't know if you saw, there's somebody drove by what was clearly like a press photo shoot of them outside and just like posted video of him driving by them.
Okay.
Which just sets up like, oh, they're doing press photos. Something's coming. Like,
yeah.
So that's really exciting.
Well, you know how we were talking about sort of those out of left field bookings. There was one in particular for Coachella that kind of got me. I'm sorry. What is Blondie doing on that lineup? You know, where are they putting them, in between Glorilla and Waffle Dad or Uncle Waffle? Like, who is that for? Who is that for?
Coachella.
At Coachella.
Like, yeah, it makes sense in like a lot of places. It kind of makes sense for Coachella because they do have like certain songs that like transcend. But yeah, it's an odd one. I've seen them live; they're great. I'd probably, depending on who they were against, I'd probably check them out if I were down there.
Well, but I think that this is a subjective question. It's a terrible question. I don't know why I even ask it. But if you were to look at them objectively, you like the Bonner before Brian gets back. You like the Bonner or the Coachella lineup.
Actually, just in the text thread, me and my buddies, Mike, one of them, the guy who introduced me to music in general, did our own little rankings. I think it's Bonnaroo, Coachella, Boston Calling, which is weird. I love the Boston Calling lineup. I go every year. That's one I've only missed, I think, twice. I'm a Boston boy. That's where I was born and raised.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got kind of a shakier undercard. It gets real shaky real fast. Like I said, Coachella's really strong, but it's not entirely my vibe.
Sure.
And like I said before, and Brian, welcome back, Bonnaroo feels like an old school Bonnaroo lineup to me. The stuff that got me going there and kept me going there in the first place.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, Bonnaroo takes it for me.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away 2 tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Yeah, what a great place to start, because Brian, I think the first question I'd have for you was there sort of like an underground, maybe even unspoken question between you and Steven and the group there? Let's get back to Bonnaroo basics.
But yeah, look, I appreciate y'all saying that. I mean, that was definitely a focus. I think we have an identity. We want to be true to that identity while also continuing to move into, you know, the future of the new Bonnaroo. And I think that balance is really there this year. And that's always something we're shooting for. And I think this particular lineup really nailed it from our perspective.
I remember when we talked to you and Steven, I don't know which one of you, the wife said that she saw the lineup earlier in the week and she said, this is really good. And one of you responded to her like, is it though? I don't know yet until actual lineup day.
Yeah, the date. It was Steven. I think it was Steven was, yeah, okay, his wife okay. was like questioning. Is it good?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So you,
it sounds like both of us, to be honest with you. Yeah. It is, you know, you're so, you know, into this thing. I mean, look, we work on it for the entire year. We're never really not booking the event. And so, when the finished product's there, there's always a little bit, you know, in the back of your brain. It's like, I mean, is this any good? I think it is, but sure. Who knows? We'll see.
When's the moment when you know? I mean, is it total ticket sales or is there a person? Is it your wife? Is it, you know, Brad Steiner that says, this is a pretty good lineup?
If it's not, it should be.
Yeah, I think it's the four of you guys letting us know. Yeah, no, I think that's
that's what I was fishing for. Thank you.
I think we get a vibe, right? And the look, our community is incredible. I think that the sleuthing that our fans love to do, I think, you know, a lot of people had a sense of what we had working this year, and what I was excited to see was, you know, a lot of people were saying, hey, if this rumored lineup is true, we're going to be pretty happy. And, you know, I'm just kind of sitting back going with, I can't wait to get this out there.
Is that something you like, by the way? You like the sleuthing?
I mean, look, I do, because it shows the passion of the audience, you know, and our fans, you know, they're the best festival fans in the world. And I think, you know, the passion that people have for this show, it means a lot to me and Steve and Beckett and Bobby and Sophie and everybody else that works on this show. It really matters. And we take it very seriously. And that's why Bonnaroo is Bonnaroo. It's all about the community.
By the way, shout out to Becca Castle, who my old intern. She's watching right now. She just texted me. Hello, Becca Castle.
Nice.
I just have to say, Brad, you pointed this out years ago, but Brian, you do it better than anyone else. Bonnaroo. The way you say it is different than everyone else. You and Ted, Bonnaroo.
No, Ashley.
Ashley's very good at it, too. I just wanted to point that out. I can't get it right, but whatever.
But hey, so I actually want to start from last year, to be honest with you. With the difficulties booking last year versus this year, were there inherent difficulties when it came to the pandemic, et cetera? We lost him.
Oh no.
Yeah. We got the, there he
oh,
is.
We got, oh, he's back. Okay. He's back.
Yeah. I mean, look, last year had its challenges. I don't know that they were really pandemic related necessarily. I think at the end of the day, sometimes that you really want or that you go after first. You know, so that brings you to, you know, sometimes second and third choices. That's great. But, you know, again, the overall breadth of the lineup being strong top to bottom is what we're always trying to achieve. We're really proud of last year's lineup, but I think starting fresh, not coming out of a COVID year. And then frankly, you know, every band toured last year. You know, I think that was a challenge. So many artists wanted to get back on the road and do proper headline runs. And you could see that, you know, just in Nashville here, as an example, we set records in the arena and the theaters and the amphitheaters with the amount of touring that we had running through the market. And I know that was true in a lot of markets across the country, and it made a little challenging for the festivals. And I don't say that as an excuse. It's just a reality of what it was in the first full touring year post pandemic. And 2023, the touring industry sort of getting back to what we would feel like as a normal year.
So, yeah, I say that because I'm assuming that this was a lot easier to book than last year. What are you most proud of? What is the either the band, the day, the deal that you made? What are you most proud of that you got a hold of?
Well, I think our three headliners were really strong. I think as a trifecta, it's, you know, probably one of the strongest we've had in a while. you know, we've been wanting Kendrick to come back since he stepped off the stage in 2015. I think it was 2015 or 16.
I think it was 15.
But that's been one we've been working on for a long time. And I'm really
glad
that
actually leads.
You know, 23 is the year that we kind of all came together.
That leads into our first question. We've got a
brainer for us.
Oh, we have a question.
We have a question from the chat for you, Brian. Speaking of that, how long ago did the conversation start to get the big headliners like Foos or Kendrick? How long has that been in the works?
Are we waiting on a question?
That was the question.
That was the question.
Oh, I think you might be lagging.
Yeah, waiting the lag to catch up.
It's okay. Okay. I this is how I work with Barry Corder every day. This is exactly how it works. Anyway, he may not have heard you, but for the headliners, how long did that process take? When did you guys start booking Foos, Kendrick, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, look, we could start on the headliners early, you know, sometimes a year out or more. So, you know, these conversations go on for a while. We're doing the Dance with the Artist for the better part of, you know, 6, 8, 9 months. Just depends on the situation. And sometimes it comes together quickly. You know, some artists confirm quicker than others. So there's some patience that needs to be there. And, you know, sometimes we're willing to wait it out and sometimes we're not. So
can I tag on to that?
Please.
Was there anything like kind of the post-pandemic and the cancellation year that like you were able to look at an artist and be like, hey, you couldn't do 2020 or 2021. When's the next time you can do it? Let's start that process. Like, were you able to, you know, Brad asked, was it easier or harder given the pandemic year booking 2022? Were there, I don't want to say advantages, but did anything play out advantageously to booking this year?
Yeah, I think in some respects it did. I mean, we've got some acts that were on either the COVID show or the 21 reschedule that are on the 23 lineup. Mm-hmm. And again, it's all about getting the artists in the right time for them and for us. The stars have to align there. And for some artists that were on those shows, it still made sense for us. In a lot of cases, a lot of those artists have grown since then. You know, and then naturally there's going to be some that have, that have emerged that weren't really viable options for us in 20 or 21, that are now great options. It wasn't hey, let's just rebook everybody we had. Mm-hmm. That's not going to make sense. Every year is going to take on its own form. But in a lot of cases, there were a lot of artists that made sense for us to go after that were on those canceled shows, and we're excited to get some of them on the bill.
One of which being the Foo Fighters, and how close is that not to happening?
Well, it was, I wasn't sure, honestly. It was a bit of, you know, me thinking, I'm sure those guys are going to want to get back out at some point. And there was no way to know if it was going to be 23 or beyond. I think that we all kind of thought, you know, maybe 23 would have been too soon, but we might as well try. And I'm really glad we did.
So I hate to interrupt, but were the Foo Fighters booked before or after the awful passing of Taylor?
I'll probably hold on that one, Brad, but I think that
fair enough.
You know, it was a conversation that, you know, we weren't sure was going to happen this year or not, and ultimately it was something that they were ready to go, and that's all we needed to hear, and we had a spot, and it made sense. So
if no Foo Fighters is the band that would have filled that slot on the festival poster today, or is that band not booked this year? Got it.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I think one of the things you and Steven introduced to us when we visited you guys in Knoxville was this idea of lanes. I think I don't remember exactly if Brad had already introduced it or you confirmed it or both, But that whole idea is fascinating to me, and it's one of the things we've really sort of focused on. And this lineup to me, and we talked about it this morning when the lineup came out, felt like, man, you guys got it. You got, that's my man. There it is.
I got it.
What a professional entity we are.
That's my man.
Hang on a second. We have to open a beer.
Yes, got it. Correct.
Have a moment. Count for it. Wait for it. And there. Scene. But this lineup really, really feels like a Bonnaroo lane, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it really feels like what you guys were talking about, especially Sunday. We talked about that this morning. But all every day, even Thursday, feels like there's that you really sort of focused on the lanes. And for people who don't know and they're new to the show, that's where, you know, you book the headliner and then you figure out, all right, if Barry likes Kendrick, what's he going to want to do at 3:30 in the afternoon and 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock and, you know, on and on and on. Talk about that a little bit, because it really feels like you nailed it this year. And I'll be honest, you know, I don't mean to keep picking on last year, but last year to me was a little bit disjointed. You may disagree. It didn't hit it for me, but this year is so spot on. Where was that conversation with you guys?
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, Barry. Yeah, and it's very much how we operate, right? I think that we're always mindful as we go through the process of making sure that from the headliner down, we've got a common thread or theme there that works, right? So if we are going to go for Kendrick Lamar to headline, you know, we want to make sure that the Kendrick fan has a lot to be excited about, and that goes, you know, on down the line. The beautiful thing about Bonnaroo is we're showcasing, you know, a lot of different genres, and a lot of it kind of plays together, but we're always thinking about, you know, the journey that that fan might take that day. And it also comes into counter programming as well. You know, how we program the stages when there's overlapping sets. I mean, there's always going to be schedule conflicts, as we all know. Some of the most, you know, conflicting schedules that are, you know, complaints that people have, or some you just sort of like, wow, I can't believe that's a conflict. But we really try hard, and we're thinking about that. And so that's why I always tell people, like, when you think about a festival like this, it really is like a puzzle that every piece has to kind of fit in perfectly in the end. And it takes a long time to get there. It's a real balancing act. We're moving artists all, you know, not all over the place, but there's a lot of move.
This might work here.
So this might need to move to a different day or a different slot. I don't know if that answers your question, but to me, that kind of speaks to that, you know, keeping that thread going from the headliner on down. And we very much book that way.
It doesn't. Because what I guess the point of mine is, you seem to hit it this year. Especially, was it just good luck? I mean, you know, what happened this year that made it seem so? I mean, that's what we talked about this morning. I think Ben and at Consequence, y'all have been talking about it, right? Seemed to hit it, right? You hit the lick, right? What happened this year?
I wrote a whole essay about it. That was my morning. I wrote 1,200 words about how this feels like it just
hit the lick, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I mean, well, because look, we're very targeted in our selections. I think for the most part, you know, those targets came through and were available, and we were able to get it done in the way that we needed to. So it's very calculated, it's very targeted, but at the end of the day, you know, the artists have to be available, or in a lot of times on cycle, or in the right moment, not on tour, whatever. You know, just everything kind of came together this year in a good way for us. And again, that's the goal every year, right? And we try to get that balance and book those lanes and get that mix that you're talking about, Barry. Like, we try to nail it every year, and feels like we did a pretty good job this year.
You did do a good job. One piece of the puzzle that's still missing, though, is the Super Jam, affectionately just on the poster as Super Jam.
Yep.
So, the really dumb guy in me is going to ask a really smart question. Is the host of the Super Jam on the poster right now?
Probably not. How about that?
Wow. I think that's some breaking news, guys. Scoops!
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Super Jam's very much a work in progress, as it sometimes is come lineup announce. Always try to have that host or lead artist and theme ready, but sometimes it's not to the point where we're ready to announce it, and to be honest, that it's exciting to have something else to look forward to in terms of an announcement. That'll be a fun one once we've got the details ready.
It's a good way to expand the calendar. That's true.
Is there ever any thought to going?
Corey Smith's appreciative of my continued marketing.
Yeah. Is there? I mean, I understand the marketing. Is there ever any thought of going back? Because I remember when I first was going there, there was no Super Jam announced. Super Jam, go see what it is. Is there ever any thought of going back to just putting it on the schedule?
Maybe. I mean, I think that if we've got an artist curator or a lead act that's really pulling it all together.
Sure.
And look, it takes a lot of work. Like for an artist to sign up for the Super Jam at Bonnaroo, it is they're very involved in the process. It's always been the case year over year, and these artists really put a lot of time and energy into that. And I think they deserve the recognition of being announced as the ringleader of whatever that moment is going to be at Bonnaroo. And what could be fun to save, Ben, is more of the special guests, those that you might not know are going to jump on stage with, that artist or that band. And that's the fun stuff that we can sometimes save or maybe leak near the time.
You know, speaking of special guests, look, I think that the Foo Fighters show is going to be so interesting. Mainly, we talked about it today or early this morning when the lineup came out, was it's going to be the last show of the weekend. And knowing their history of wanting to break their own, supersonic speed records of show lengths, it could be a 4.5-5 hour show with however many special guests showing up. Do you guys know or have a pretty good impression of how many or what kind of guests are going to be joining on stage during insert show here that you've booked?
Most of the time, it'll come together closer to the performance date. There will be a mention in the booking process of wouldn't this be fun or this could be possible or, oh, this other artist is on the build. Maybe that could be something. But a lot of times it's a little more, of the moment where it's like all of a sudden the week of the show, this is happening.
I'm just making sure because in 2024, when Miley Cyrus is booked, there might be a Dolly Parton guest spot.
Let me jump on that.
That was your quote, not mine.
Yes, it was. But I did notice you nod gently.
Let me jump on that, because I think we asked this sort of at one point, Brad, in our show, we mentioned how the Bonnaroo schedule was so much, it was open. You never knew, you might have a 4-hour My Morning Jacket set, right? And then the last couple of years, we noticed they were 87 minutes. And we asked Brian, I think we asked you specifically, was that you guys or was that the band? And I think you said that was the band's. Coming out of this pandemic and everything, is that changed? Like, for example, we noticed Foo Fighters and Umphrey's are on the same day. I mean, Umphrey's is known for their long sets. Brad pointed out Foo Fighters could go till Tuesday.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I'll still be there.
And Russ will still be there with PBR aplenty.
Is that something that is with you guys, or is that on the band, or is it even talked about, or is that just a fan thing we're wishing and hoping and dreaming, or, you know, how does that work?
Yeah, so, you know, first of all, at Bonnaroo, we always say we want the artists to do their full show, you know, so, you know, schedule permitting, sometimes, you know, the earlier sets in the day obviously can't be 2 hours long. We won't get the show in, but for bands like Umphrey's and Foo Fighters and others on the schedule, we're very much leaving it up to the artist to tell us their desired set length or performance length. And we, as a festival, with very few exceptions, we'll do everything we can to honor that.
Well, that's a very good lead into a question. How long then do you expect, as a fan of both bands, a My Morning Jacket or Foo Fighters set to be?
Well, I'll take the Foos first, because they're notorious for playing, you know, 2.5 hour, 3 hour shows. You know, I would be surprised if that weren't the case, you know, for Bonnaroo.
Nice.
And then the jacket, I will plead the fifth on that, because if I comment on their set length, it might reveal where they are, and I think we'll leave that for another day.
You don't have to say it, but I think here's what I'm going to say as a guy that doesn't know much. My bet is that you find My Morning Jacket doing a what stage show late at night for hours upon hours. But that's me speaking again, idiot on a podcast.
So I should bring a blanket and a pillow.
We've got other questions too to get to.
If you're ready. All right, I'm going to have to play quarterback because I don't think that Brian can hear Taco. So let's give it a go.
Yeah, I can't hear anybody but you.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Next question. What would it take for Rue to have a Latin headliner in general?
All right. So this is based on what happened with Coachella today, I'm sure. But what's the likelihood of a Latin headliner in the future? What would it take?
That's a great question. I think it's something that we definitely, you know, would look at in the future. No question. You know, I can't say for certain when that would be, but obviously, you know, if the right artist is somebody that's a good fit for Bonnaroo, we wouldn't hesitate.
How much is this? Speaking of the My Morning Jacket thing, how much of the schedule's actually done? All of it?
Yeah. Look, I mean, when we have a confirmed lineup ready to go, the schedule's ostensibly done.
Got it.
There will be a lot of tweaks to that, and there could be some, you know, inevitable, I've got to move to this day, or wait, what day did you have me on? I can't do that anymore. There's a little bit of that happening, but I think for the most part, the schedule's pretty much where it's going to be, and we'll get that out in due time.
How much of that, going back, Brian, and it gets to the lanes a little bit, and I mean, it is a good question, but how much of that is we don't have a female head, we don't have a Latin head, we don't have a headliner? You know, you guys have to book the best available that works in the lanes, right? And I think that's a little bit of part that gets lost sometimes when people like me want to talk to you about it. You know, how come this or how come that, you know? Talk about that just for a minute. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair question. You know, I think a lot of times maybe what gets lost or is a little misunderstood is if you see something that's not represented, it doesn't mean that it isn't something that we were going for at one point or another, right? You know, again, our job is to put together the best lineup possible based on the artists that are available to us in any given year on our specific weekend. So we're always mindful of, you know, we want to be as diverse as possible. We want to showcase as many different genres as we can. And, you know, again, this is the mix of artists that we felt was right for Bonnaroo in 23 and And so that's the product that's manifested there.
Well, look, you've been so gracious with your time. You knocked it out of the park today. I'm sure you're getting a lot of congratulatory texts. Just wrap up with a couple of things and we'll let you go. How much of 2024 is booked?
Zero.
Really?
Okay. Wow. Zero.
How
that
close
doesn't mean
are
we're
you?
Not, that doesn't how mean close we're not working on it, though.
I know. I got that. But how close are you on, say, you know, an outline of a structure of headliners?
We've definitely got a lot of ideas. There's definitely a structure there, but you know, I think today is all about celebrating 23.
Well, the reason I ask is because when we were last together, which by the way, the last time we were together, we were celebrating the 2020 lineup that never actually happened. But you had said at the time you were talking at that moment, you're like, we're pretty set on next year already, you know, and like we're all down the road with a lot of these things. And who would have thought we never actually would ever get there? Because Coachella and Boston Calling came out today. If you could steal one act from each, which one would you steal? What artist would you steal?
That's a good question.
Remind me of Boston's top six.
Foo Fighters, Paramore, who you have.
Yep, we
Queens
share.
Of Stone
yep.
Age, Alanis Morissette.
Yep.
Alanis Morissette, Yeah.
Yeah, of that one, I would steal Queens.
Wow. Look at you, because of the Foo Fighters connection. Yeah, sure.
Good answer.
Anything from Coachella?
Yeah. I'm trying to look at the poster. I don't know. The young techno fan in me would love the Kims or Underworld. How about that?
Underworld. Very nice. Yeah. I did acid in 2020. That'd be great. all right. So the what artists that you booked that you're most excited about?
Wow. Let me take a look. There's so many, y'all. I mean, I don't know. Noah Kahan, I think, is one that.
You know what? Stop right there. Why is Noah Kahan so high? Because this was in a music meeting today in my company. We talked about Noah Kahan and we talked about our love of him as a format, et cetera. But I was surprised, even as a guy that plays him for a living, how high he was on the poster.
He put out a massive record and blew out a tour and is exploding as we speak. So
the sales are out of control. Noah Kahan, who else?
Do you have a question, Ben?
Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna tag on somebody that I'm excited for to in wondering why they are where there is Dire Rare Planet. Them coming back,
Nashville Zone. Nashville
fire.
Zone.
We like Consequence was so excited about that. Love those guys. Love them.
I love Dire Rare Planet. It's
a great band. I feel like they could have been on any like main weekend day, just scheduling that they're on a Thursday.
You know, we just felt like Nashville band getting back together. The energy their show brings, what better night to put them on than to kick off the festival on Thursday night.
Fair. Yeah. There sorry is a I interrupted lot your lineup, your question, Brad, but that Thursday bill is pretty, pretty stellar. For
Brian, there's a lot of Nashville love on the festival this year, on the poster this year.
Yeah, man.
Anybody else other than Noah you're excited about?
Yeah. Obviously
the artist. Come on. Just
the artist. Wow.
Yeah, the one, the show that you have to go to. You can't miss Brian Benson. So, pick of the year.
So tough. I mean,
I hate to
necessarily choose a headliner, but Kendrick was the best show that I saw last year, and I think that him being out there on the Friday is going to be pretty amazing.
Well, that's all I have. But I do have one request. I actually have two requests before we go. First, I just now learned from Becca that this, what you're wearing, this jacket that I've been obsessed with, is a Bonnaroo's merchandise. It's 2023 merchandise.
Bonnaroo bomber that, right here.
That
gotta represent today.
In the chat, I'll send you my address so one can be slipped to
me. Yeah, I need that.
Yeah, I'll take one.
Consider it done.
But our final request can be a little more difficult for you to make happen. There's an artist on the lineup named Baby Keem.
Yes.
Baby Keem is obviously may or may not be a baby, but with us tonight,
I'll be the judge of that.
Is a baby expert. Lord Taco knows how to identify babies. Now, you present him a baby. He'll be able to tell you whether or not it is a baby or not a baby. So what we're hoping is that when Baby Keem, before Baby Keem steps out onto the stage, we're hoping to have Lord Taco's head on the screen saying, yes, it is or is not a baby. Can we make it happen?
We need
that look on your face says, I can tell you're impressed.
Send me some images. We'll see what we can do.
Okay. Yeah. Here's a thumbs up.
Yeah, here's Brian was like, this is for real?
Yes.
Yeah. I just spent an hour with this schmuck.
I booked a festival lineup, and now they're asking me about babies.
Now he's doing what?
That's all I got.
Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate your support, guys. We really appreciate it, and thanks for everything you guys do for Bonnaroo. And, it's a great day, and we're really excited to get this thing out there. I hope everybody's happy.
Well, we love it so much. We love this festival. We love this lifestyle. We love everything that the festival stands for. And we're glad that you guys still to this day put so much time and care and consideration into it. No matter what your musical tastes are, no matter what lineup does it for you or doesn't do it for you, as Ken Weinstein said, and we will forever be indebted to him for it. It's never not great. Never mind your musical tastes. It's never not great. And you're a big part of it. So thank you for spending some time with us today, Brian.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for your time, man. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, I got to get in on that merchandise, my man. That is good looking.
What do you think, Ben?
That's good looking.
I mean, what do you think? That's crazy, right?
What? The merch or the...
Just everything. How it works. I mean, this is...
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's crazy how cool under pressure somebody like that has to be. And just how kind of constantly confident in what they're doing he seems. And
especially when you have criticism from literally every corner of a musical planet.
Yeah. Let me put it this way.
Face to face on something like this.
I've been doing this job 35 years. Everybody thinks they know how to put together a festival. Everybody thinks, here's my list. Just book these bands.
Yeah, look at my Spotify.
Here's my five. Here's my three. It's great. And this is it. And they don't understand the complications and everything else. And so I think they do a great job. And for him to come on and talk to us about it is amazing. So
An aside, Russ, do we have anybody in the waiting room? Because we had some guests that might or may not have been
actually
stop by.
We do. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, God. Surprise me on this one. Oh, because
you're not going to be surprised.
There he is.
Oh my God. May I introduce YouTube, the fine world of YouTube and the worldwide interwebs, to the Mr. Positivity, the shining light on the hill, Mr. Brian Stone, member of Camp Nut Butter. How are you, sir?
Been to every festival. Everyone.
Hopefully you can hear me at least somewhat.
You sound great. what do you think?
All right, so Brian, what did you think of the festival? What did you think of the lineup this year? What was your initial impressions?
I think it's really, really good. I mean, I think it's layered really, really well.
I'll talk to you next time.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody.
All I can do is talk into this thing.
No. What are you excited about, man?
I can't figure out what's going on in this room right now is what I can't figure out.
Yeah, it's sort of what we like. That's how we want it. All right, so who did you like on the lineup? So your first impression?
Foo Fighters, absolutely want to see on the farm. I've always wanted to. My Morning Jacket's... for all the reasons we all already know, is going to be fun. It is nothing that jumps way off the page. It's just layered really well. And for me, I'm usually a get there early and leave early set up. This is stacked towards Saturday and Sunday for me. So this is get there whenever the hell I feel like it and then leave on Monday. It's probably how that's going to work. Saturday and Sunday are fantastic.
Are you a Foo Fighters fan though? I don't think I knew that about you.
Oh yeah. I mean,
You like the Yeah Yeah Yeahs too.
I mean, I love them, but their greatest hits I never want to hear again. It's that kind of band. So I don't see them a lot because it's kind of the same thing a lot of times. But okay. I think they'll do something pretty exciting for Bonnaroo to talk about.
Yeah, and I think that we're going to, like, we mentioned it this morning, Barry, but I think that of all the bands that we were talking about for Bonnaroo this year, the Foo Fighters seem to be the one that we're all skipping over. And I don't really want to lose this perspective. This show is going to be endless. It is going to be 4 or 5 hours, and you don't know who's going to show up. And I just have this sneaking suspicion it's going to be it's going to be one of those that, you know, Ben's writing about the next day. It's like, this is the show you have to be at.
I want
to
ask
the minute after.
I want to ask Ben and Brian, because you said that this is the band we're skipping over. And I understand what you're saying, because I've been doing it too. But to me, this is the band that's the glue. This is the band that holds this lineup. It moves it above. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really solid lineup. But the Foo Fighters are the ones that sort of put it, even though they're on everybody else's lineup, apparently. But this was the one that seems to sort of, that's the not miss, right?
Well, hang on a second. Before you say that, remind me when the Foo Fighters were in 2021. Were they on Friday or Sunday? Because there's something specific.
Not Sunday.
Okay, there's two things specifically about the Foo Fighters show that I can't seem to shake. And this is just not even as a huge Foo Fighters fan, but one, they are playing the final set of the weekend. The final set.
At Bonnaroo.
And it's at Bonnaroo, which we all know shows are just different. My thing is, if it was a Friday night show, it would just be another Foo Fighters, a great Foo Fighters show.
Maybe.
The fact that it's a Sunday show means that like the possibilities of this could be absolutely endless.
Fair.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. The idea that, for me, Barry, the thing that I think helps them be that glue is, in talking about how this is like a really classically constructed Bonnaroo lineup, they do in a unique way occupy the legacy and the rock headliner kind of statue all in one band.
I'm glad you said that, because that was actually one of the questions was, where is the legacy classic rock band?
I
think that's Foo Fighters. Yeah.
It's Foo Fighters. We're all older now, folks. Foo Fighters is the legacy band. You know, it's not Bruce Springsteen. It's not Billy Joel. It's not Stevie Nicks. It's a different tier of legacy. But especially at this point in their career and considering everything that's happened, I don't think they're anything else beyond legacy. I mean, they also are one of the greatest rock bands.
Yeah, we've made the point that Dave Grohl is probably the coolest, you know, guy representing rock and roll these days, right? I mean, since Tom Petty died, and, you know, I mean, who else is doing it, right?
Had a chance to interview him around the horror movie they did, Studio 666, he's exactly who you want him to be, and that just makes him the perfect kind of representative for rock music right now.
I know he gets a bum rap, but like Jack White and Dave Grohl, those are our ambassadors of the genre right now. You know, those are the guys that are, you know, carrying the torch of rock music, like them or dislike them. They're our most accessible, well, not Jack White, but Dave Grohl is our most accessible guy, right? He's the one that we put out there every time we need rock guy to show up, you know?
He gets the Beatles.
There's a reason.
Yeah, he gets the Beatles. He gets Jack White. I mean, he's the link. That's the thing,
and,
you know?
And to what Brad's saying about him being, about Foo Fighters being that Sunday night closer, given everything that's going on at the band and giving who Dave is, yeah, that really sets that show up to be something truly unique. Even in a season where they seem to be headlining everywhere, there's potential here for this to be something like, it's going to be an emotional set anyway, just because they're performing without Taylor. But whoever they get to sit in there and whatever that ends up being, it's going to be an emotional set. And then you cap this festival off with that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a knockout.
I agree. So the other thing I wanted to mention, and I know that Brian was not going to, and I understand why, but I am putting all the money I have, and this is not something that I know because of a source or whatever, but I'm, it's just informed speculation. I am putting all the money I have on My Morning Jacket being on the what stage at about 12 o'clock and lasting till 2:30, 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. That is, I think that's as sure of a bet as possible. I don't think they're on the witch stage anymore. I don't think they're doing the, I think they're on the main stage late at night, and it's going to be up against all of those late night bands that you're going to have to say no to because the conflicts, it's going to be My Morning Jacket or everyone else.
Yeah,
it's going to be My Morning Jacket or Korn. Those guys, they're going to be occupying.
I was going to say, when are we going to discuss Korn here? When are we going to talk about it?
Can't wait.
I didn't know you were a big Korn guy, so take the floor is yours, Captain Korn.
Oh, I'm not, but I mean, I grew up with them and a bunch of friends that loved them. I've seen them once before 25 years ago. I just think it's going to be a fascinating set. I mean, they've got five or six songs that are pretty good and pretty recognizable, and they're pretty raucous, or at least they used to be a pretty raucous band. So I'd love, just fascinated to see how that works out. And then also the Pixies.
Thank you.
I mean, just for their legacy purposes, you know, I've never seen Pixies. I don't know if it's a full band. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But either way, that's just a can't miss for me.
Well, let me ask you, because I heard you comment earlier a couple of days ago, Brian, that this, you know, lineup, you were going to go because you've been every year. And so if for no other reason, you were going to keep the streak going and you weren't sure what the lineup might look like, that would draw you back. Is this a lineup will draw you back?
The answer is yes. And I think what you were referring to is when I think I would say my excitement level is just down. And I think that's just because I'm middle-aged.
Your excitement level's down about everything.
Yeah.
Literally everything.
But when has it ever been
today,
up?
I mean, look at your hairline. That in itself, it's not exciting.
today changed that a little bit, though.
That's
I have
question.
Been, you know, I've got my board highlighted and, you know, going through it and doing all the stuff I used to do. It wasn't like Christmas Eve last night like it used to be. This kind of brought it back out of me. So I'm most of the day thinking about it.
That's my question. Good.
Guys, thank you so much. It's been a fantastic day, a fun day.
This is great.
Guys.
This is really
love
great.
Yeah.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks. Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.